known as Shaka Dvipa. Trimshat 32. Laksha 100,000. Yojana Yojanas. Ayamaha, whose measure? Samanena, of equal length. Cha, and Dvadimanda Utena, by an ocean containing water, resembling churned yogurt. Paritaha, surrounded. Yasmin, in which land? Shakaha, Shaka. Nama, named. Mahiruhaha, a fig tree. Swakshetra Vyapadeshakaha, giving the island its name. Yasha, of which? Ha, indeed. Mahasurabhi, a greatly fragrant. Gandaha, aroma. Tamdvipam, that island. Anuvasayati, makes fragrant. So translation, outside the ocean of milk is another island, Shaka Dvipa, which has a width of 3,200,000 yojanas, that's 25,600,000 miles. As Kruncha Dvipa is surrounded by its own ocean of milk, Shaka Dvipa is surrounded by an ocean of churned yogurt as broad as the island itself. In Shaka Dvipa, there is a big shaka tree from which the island takes its name. This tree is very fragrant indeed. It lends its scent to the entire island. So let's be the next few verses. The Shapi Prayat Vrata Ikadi Patir Namna Medatiti Sopi Vibhaja Saptavashani Putra Namat Yuni Teshu Swatmajan Purodva Jara Purojava Manojava Pavabana Dumranika Chitra Repa Marurupa Vishvadhara Samgyan Nidapya Dipatin Swayam Bhagavatyananta Aveshyata Matis Tapovanam Pravivesha. The master of this island, also one of the sons of Priyavrata, was known as Medatiti. He also divided his island into seven sections named according to the names of his own sons, who he made the kings of that island. The names of those sons are Purojava, Manojava, Pavamana, Dumranika, Chitra Repa, Bahurupa, and Vishvadhara. After dividing the island and situating his sons as its rulers, Medatiti personally retired and to fix his mind completely upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he entered a forest suitable for meditation. Text 26. Etesham Varsha Maryada Giriyo Najascha Sapta Saptaiva Ishana Uru Shringo Balabhadra Shatakesaraha Sahasras Shruto Devapalo Mahanasahiti Anakayudurda Ubayas Prishtir Uparajita Panchapati Sahasrasrutir Nijadritir Iti. For these lands also there are seven boundary mountains and seven rivers. The mountains are Ishana, Urushringa, Bolavadra, Shatakesara, Sahasrasrota, Devapala and Mahanasa. The rivers are Anaga, Ayurda, Ubhayasprishti, Aparajita, Panchapadi, Sahasrasruti, and Nijasriti. Text 27. Tadvarsha Purusha Vritavrita Satchavrita Dhanavritanuvrita Namanu Bhagavantam Bhavyat Makam Pranayama Viduta Rajas Tamasa Paramasamadina Yajante. The inhabitants of those islands are also divided into four castes. Rituvrata, Satyavrata, Dhanavrata, and Anuvrata, which exactly resemble Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. They practice pranayama and mystic yoga, and in trance they worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Vayu. And finally, text 28. Anta pravishya bhutani yobi varchyad maketu viki antaryami shvara sokshat patuno yad vase sputam. The inhabitants of Shaktadvipa worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Vayu in the following words. O Supreme Person, situated as the Super Soul within the body, you affect the various actions of the different airs such as prana, and thus you maintain all living entities. O Lord, O Super Soul of everyone, O Controller of the Cosmic Manifestation, under whom everything exists, may you protect us from all dangers. And finally, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Through the mystic yoga practice called pranayama, the yogi controls the airs within the body to maintain the body in a healthy condition. In this way, the yogi comes to the point of trance and tries to see the Super Soul within the core of his heart. Pranayama is the means to attain samadhi, trance, in order to fully absorb oneself in seeing the Supreme Lord as this is actually spelled wrong. It should be antaryami instead of antaryami. Anyway, antaryami, the Super Soul, within the core of the heart. So, Om Ganatim Randa Shaganan Janal Shnakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yenitasmai Shikurveda Mahat. So, of course, one time Srila Prabhupada was walking on the beach and there was someone doing the yoga posture of standing on his head. And Prabhupada commented that in this way he'll be very healthy. And devotees were thinking, oh, we should do also. And Prabhupada said, we don't have time because we're serving Krishna. So physical process of yoga is quite interesting. I was just reading the other day how there's this one person who's teaching Westerners the different types of breathing processes, and by that they're able to go out in the snow without any jackets or anything like that. So I was thinking we should learn this here. So during the winter everyone will be comfortable. We won't need to spend money on heating. So So this yoga is a very good way to manipulate the life airs in the body. And according to the Ayurveda, diseases occur due to the malfunction of the life airs, the imbalance of the life airs, and also diseases. Of course, Prabhupada also said diseases occur due to overeating, uncleanliness, and anxiety. But you see, Prabhupada himself spent several hours a day getting a massage. And one wonders, of course, Prabhupada did attribute his good health to his massage, his medicine, and his morning walk, those three things. So you may ask, you know, why did Prabhupada spend so much time getting a massage when generally, you know, massages are considered something that's sense gratification? The reason is to regulate the airs in his body. I mean, very practical. Prabhupada was very much conscious of what was necessary to keep the health of his body together. because Prabhupada came to America when he was 70 years old. Yeah, for those of you who are young, some of you are young here, some of you are approaching 60, and some of you are approaching 65, and some of you are approaching 70. You know, when you get to be 70 years old, or close to 70 years old, there's a lot of issues that occur in the body. I mean, like the eyesight is not so good anymore. And, of course, you may need a little bit more rest. You get a little dizzy sometimes. You get wrinkles. I mean, so many things. So Prabhupada, understanding this, not out of false ego, but understanding this because he wanted to keep his body going as long as possible, took the necessary measures to keep the body going. And one of those was that massage. And while Prabhupada was taking massage, at least the midday massage, Prabhupada was getting sun too. You know, because sun is very important. Prabhupada understood this. The sun is very important. Of course, there's yogis who are able to just get the sun and not even eat. You know, they do the Surya Namaskar or they sun gaze or something like that. But Prabhupada understood the importance of this vitamin D that you get from the sun. And so his midday massage from about 11 o'clock to about 12:30, you know, an hour and a half, was done in the sun. And I actually watched Prabhupada get his massage one time. I was in the New York temple, and he was in the courtyard, and I climbed up on, this is in Henry Street, the old temple in Henry Street. I climbed up on the windowsill and looked through the window. Of course, Prabhupada spotted me looking at him. And I got nervous because Prabhupada was looking at me. So, but Prabhupada every day, you know, with his shirt off, was getting this massage. And so, yeah, sunshine is very important, and also keeping the life air's function is very important. So we should make some endeavor, especially as we get older, to keep the body running smoothly. And that means we may have to do a little bit of this yoga. I mean, Prabhupada was discouraging the young people, because the young people were doing it just simply for sense gratification or thinking they're going to become Krishna conscious. We have people who become illusioned thinking that different material methods will make them Krishna conscious. And we also have devotees in illusion thinking that certain methods disconnected from Srila Prabhupada will make them Krishna conscious, which is really interesting. Both sides of this, the spectrum, or the pendulum, or whatever it is. So sometimes I've seen devotees thinking if they just eat very little, they'll become more Krishna conscious. And in fact, they either go crazy, or they get sick, or they get mentally ill. I remember one devotee went on an orange juice or an orange fast for about 2 months, thinking it was going to free him from lust. And obviously it didn't work. He became crazy and had to leave the movement after those 2 months. So material things like yoga and everything can be utilized to keep the body together, body and soul together, but they're not going to bring you closer to Krishna. One should realize that. Now, the most controversial thing is, you know, spiritual things that are not prescribed by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, people think they're going to bring them closer to Krishna. But actually we find that those things deviate them more even than the material things, you know, than the yoga or the fasting or whatever like that. And this is one thing that I've experienced, not personally, but in my observations of other devotees. So many times devotees think that they can go to a place like Radhakund, for example, and become Krishna. I just got a letter from one of my disciples in Estonia, and she said that so many of the devotees there, fortunately none of them were my disciples, so many of the devotees there, they would go to Radhakund, and she said within a year or two later, they were smoking again. They were out of Radhakund, smoking and falling completely from the standard of Krishna consciousness. I had one friend who went to Radhakund, and he took reinitiation from one of the Babaji's there, then he found some faults in that Babaji, and then he took initiation from another Babaji and found faults in that Babaji. And then one thing led to another, and eventually he became a Buddhist. And even that wasn't enough, and eventually he just became just a meeting there again, is completely fallen. So you may ask, you know, Rukun is supposed to be the most elevated place. Well, actually, you can't really go to Radhakund without the mercy of the spiritual master, without the mercy of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Radhakund is not simply a physical place, you know, a place in this material world. To actually enter into Radhakund, you have to have the right type of body. That's interesting, because Prabhupada also talked about going to different planets. You know, like the moon planet and other planets that are heavenly planets. Or going down in the ocean. You can't really enter into the atmosphere of that particular location unless you have the right body. For example, you can't enter into the ocean. Really, you're not really entering into the ocean because you're going down with your scuba tank or your some artificial means of breathing, and you're not entering into the atmosphere of the fishes. So you're not really entering into the ocean. So in the same way, you can't go to another planet unless you actually take the appropriate type of body. And there's things happening in different dimensions. And for example, someone can go to one of these heavenly planets and not see a damn thing. I mean, you have telescopes that are focused on the moon, and they're not seeing anything. All they're seeing is the man on the moon, or nowadays the lady on the moon, and some craters, and, you know, and there's satellites that go around the moon. I'm not going to enter into the discussion of whether the astronauts went there or not. That's not appropriate for the class. But in any case, they can't go there. And you can't see what's happening there, because it's happening in a different dimension. All you're seeing is what you're capable of seeing with your mundane, at least grosser senses than the subtler senses that the living entities in the higher planets have. So in the same way, you go to Radhakund, and you don't have the senses to enter into Radhakund. In the same way that someone doesn't have the senses to enter into the moon. It's not there. You just can't perceive it. So what you're perceiving is the covering of Maya that Krishna put there to bewilder you. And you're thinking that the covering of Maya is Krishna. So you have like an illusory Krishna. It's much like that person in the Krishna book, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Pondrika. Remember Pondrika? He was illusory Vishnu. He actually tied two extra arms to his back and they believe he was Vishnu. He had the different symbols, the club, the chakra, like this, the lotus, and the conch. And then ultimately, of course, Krishna threw his own chakra at him, and he couldn't catch it properly, so he cut off his head. So the point is that, yes, you can go to that place in the physical location, but you can't enter into Radhakund. You're entering into an illusory consciousness, your own projected illusory consciousness that is there because of the covering of Yogamaya, Srila Prabhupada said. Yogamaya covers the holy Dham. So in other words, the only way we can enter into the holy Dham is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. The only way we can perceive Krishna. I was thinking about this the other day in regard to so many different people presenting Krishna, so many different people chanting. And I was thinking that the only Krishna that I know I can perceive is Prabhupada's Krishna. You know, Prabhupada's Krishna, that's an interesting expression. The Krishna that Prabhupada is presenting to us. Because otherwise, I mean, how are we connected? You're not connected. You're not connected otherwise. And so people engage in all these different so-called spiritual activities without being connected to the disciplic succession. Ultimately, of course, for us in the Krishna conscious movement, that means connected to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. And we think we're becoming Krishna conscious, but we're simply living an hallucination. And ultimately, what happens is that we deviate from the spiritual practices because we're not really having a higher taste. Now, what is that higher taste, anyway? That higher taste is the taste of love, of the desire to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not to be pleased by the Lord, not to enjoy the Lord. And that's another misunderstanding people get when they're not connected to Prabhupada, is that they have this enjoying spirit in relationship to Krishna. Not understanding that the basis or the foundation of all spiritual rasas is Jivara Surupa Hoy, Nitya Krishna Das, is that I am a servant of Krishna. You know, if you haven't understood that, you can't enter in yet or understand anything about anything higher. It's a very important point. That's the foundation. It's like the foundation of a building. If you don't have the foundation, you can't build a building. It's like some of the apartment buildings that are being built by the devotees or for the devotees and on the outside of our Mayapur project. There's a lot of cheating going on. So they don't put a proper foundation to these buildings. I mean, a lot of Western devotees, they go and they think I bought a house or bought an apartment in Mayapur. And then what happens is you end up with the Leaning Tower of Mayapur instead of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know, you go to these places. I mean, it's really interesting. And the buildings are starting to tilt. Because obviously it's built on like a floodplain. There's no stable ground there. In order to have a proper foundation, you have to have these deep piles put in. Like when the devotees were putting the foundation in for the temple of the Vedic planetarium, there were these deep piles, hundreds of feet down, and the pile drivers were spending so much time. And then they tested the weight, how much weight each one of these piles could take. You know, they put like hundreds of tons on each pile just to see if it was properly situated. And they also put stainless steel so the steel wouldn't corrode was part of the concrete in that pile. So it was a very elaborate procedure to make the foundation for the temple of the Vedic planetarium. And that way the temple will be stable. But they're not doing that with the other foundations there, you know, outside of our ISKCON land that has been sold by ISKCON devotees to make money from other ISKCON devotees who don't know they're actually being cheated. So that's another issue. So, getting back to the philosophical point is that we need that spiritual foundation, which means I'm a servant, not only a servant, but that's my whole identity. That whatever Krishna wants, whether Krishna wants to crush me by his embrace or leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, of course that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtaka prayer, then I'm still his servant. I'm still his servant. And Krishna tests in so many ways to see if we're actually still have this service attitude. I was just talking to one of my godbrothers who went through a lot of tests in Krishna consciousness. He was a very nice devotee. His name is Dick Paul. Some of you may know him. He lives in Alachua right now. And he was telling me that after Prabhupada left the planet, that due to, let's say, the Acharya syndrome that some of our godbrothers had, he was subjected to many different tests. I mean, he went into one temple and he saw that Prabhupada wasn't being worshipped. They were worshipping the guru who had a bigger vyasasan than Prabhupada. They were fanning him. And he went up to Prabhupada's vyasasan and started to fan Prabhupada just so that, you know, things would be at least a little equal. And then he got called by the temple president temple president told him basically he was a demon and he had to leave the temple. So he was kicked out of that temple, and then he went to Manipur, but nothing bad happened with the gurus there, but he was beaten up trying to do Sankirtan. You know, some of the Gundas, they were not Muslims there, but they're actually Gundas, like aborigines, took him and whipped him with chains while he was doing Sankirtan. Amazing. I mean, I was hearing his experiences. Then he went to another temple in India, and then the same thing, he got kicked out. Yeah, he was the head pujari in Vrindavan. And then because he didn't go along with the Zonal Acharya, he got kicked out of there. He got told to leave from one day to another. And I was just thinking, wow, and you're still in the movement after all those things? And he said, yes, because he understands he's a servant of Prabhupada. So I was thinking, you know, that he's passed the test. Now he's not a sannyasi, you know, he lives in Alachua and he works a very humble job to support his family. He actually has a cleaning business. One of these trucks, he goes around and cleans houses. You understand what I mean. He vacuums houses and hotels and everything like that. And here's someone who's not, you know, prominent, well-known, not a sannyasi, not a big preacher, but such a nice Vaishnava because he's actually completely accepted the point that he's Prabhupada's servant. So this is like the essence of Krishna consciousness. Because, I mean, obviously we're chanting every morning, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavad Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Nagati Katopi. But very few people actually understand what that means. That by pleasing His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, you become Krishna conscious. That's it. You know, it's a simple method for becoming Krishna conscious. But it's for many of us, it's the hardest one to swallow. Because we have this enjoying propensity. So, anyway, apart from the yoga that's being described here and the, Raghunuga Bhakti that other people are talking about and the, going to, Radhakund that other people are talking about or, anyway, a number of things that, you know, our mind is just like so confused. Yavasayat makabudhirekehakunandana. Our mind is in so many different directions, looking for so many different ways to become Krishna conscious. We simply accept this one method of serving Prabhupada's movement, then our success is sure. Otherwise, bahunan janvanamante ganamam prabhajate vasudevasar. After many births and deaths, you know, we may come to that realization. If we really want to become Krishna conscious very quickly, then this is the simple method. So I'll leave time open for questions.
Related to the verse?
Yeah.
The introduction says that they worship the Supreme Personality of God in the form of Vayu.
Yeah.
But then when the prayer begins, they refer to him as the super soul. So
yeah.
Can we equate the life of heirs, Vayu, with the super soul?
Actually, all the names of the demigods, it's not the... demigod Vayu is not really being referred to here. All the names of the demigods are actually names of Krishna, ultimately. Or manifestations of Krishna, or energies of Krishna. So Vayu is a manifestation or the energy, the winds in the body. That's what's being talked about here. Vayu means air. So all the life airs in the body are a manifestation or energies of the super soul. So one, as Krishna says in the Gita, one who sees me everywhere sees everything in me, is not never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. So we see everything as a manifestation of Krishna. Like Prabhupada sometimes would talk about, if you're sitting on a chair, you should see that you're sitting on Krishna. Of course, not Krishna's eternal spiritual form, but Krishna's energy. So of course we don't worship the chair. We worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's personal form. But we understand this is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. In the same way, Vayu is a manifestation of Krishna's energies, and it's what maintains our body, keeps the life airs of what keeps the subtle body floating within the body. The subtle form, the linga shurira, floating in the body. So yes, it's a manifestation of Krishna. Yeah.
Maharaj, last night at the Guru Maharaj's meeting, the devotee made a very impassioned sort of plea that why shouldn't one attend lectures and so on by someone who's in the lineage of the Sampradaya. But it's not. representation of all of my conclusions. And we kind of passionate plea, and but the true Maharaj is that you are inspired and you can attend that. At the same time, the GBC resolution is kind of against its adherence. It's very confusing. You've kind of addressed it in your lecture before, but it seems like you're being more thoroughly.
So actually there's several different answers to that. One is it depends whether one came to Krishna consciousness through Prabhupada society or came to Krishna consciousness through another society. We're not criticizing any other Gaudiya Vaishnava group. Obviously, if someone is in a bona fide Gaudiya Vaishnava group and they came to Krishna consciousness through that group, then our advice is to serve that group. That's the GBC rule right there. And Prabhupada himself was offered some help by one of the disciples of one of his godbrothers, and Prabhupada said to that disciple, you get permission from your spiritual master before you assist me. I think his name was Mangal Das Brahmacharya. And he wanted to assist Prabhupada, but Prabhupada sent him back to his spiritual master. So there's an etiquette. There's actually spiritual etiquette that is very important. Prabhupada said, Maryada Vyatikrama, if one tries to overcome or surpass etiquette, then Krishna will never be pleased. So, in other words, if one wants to hear from other Vaishnavas, let's say in other branches of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, it's important to get permission from one's guru to make sure that what one hears will not confuse one. Like Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was on the planet, Prabhupada actually forbade us from going to his godbrothers in general. There were some exceptions to that. Because Prabhupada said, if you heard a word differently or some different opinion about things. And sometimes there are different opinions about, for example, where the soul came from. You know, Prabhupada stated clearly, and I accept 100% what Prabhupada said about where the soul came. Originally, we were Krishna conscious living entities. And same statement is made by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, and there was a whole book published in ISKCON about this. So, but if you hear something different, it'll cause confusion. Confusion means that ultimately you're going to start doubting. Like this person says this thing, that person says that thing. So therefore, the acharya like Srila Prabhupada and the guru reserve the right to either give permission or not give permission to do something like that. So this is an important point when going to hear. One may say, I'm very inspired by another Vaishnava, but it may cause one to have doubts in his own spiritual master or doubts in Srila Prabhupada. And so one has to be very cautious about this. Sometimes we think we're inspired when actually the inspiration is not spiritual, but it's something mundane, but we're not able to distinguish between the mundane and the spiritual. I mean, I may be very this is a material example. I may be very inspired to see what's the name of the Beatle that's still alive? Oh, no, there's two of them. Ringo and what's the other one? John Lennon? Not John Lennon, he died. Paul. You know, I may be very inspired to see him and I may feel great happiness in seeing him, but I'm not able to distinguish between material happiness and spiritual happiness because, you know, I'm still conditioned soul. So we have to be very careful about what this word inspiration. You know, many things inspire us that are not Krishna conscious. I mean, I have one disciple who's inspired by Spider-Man. Won't mention his name. And, you know, he's thinking, well, it inspires me to be Krishna conscious, but it doesn't really. So I think, first of all, before one goes to hear from someone, let's say in a different branch, there should be a consultation, if Prabhupada's not present, and there should be consultation with advanced Vaishnavas, whether this is appropriate for me. I think that's the first thing, whether this will actually interfere with my relationship with Prabhupada. And if the inspiration doesn't inspire one to serve Prabhupada, I would say that that inspiration, if one is part of ISKCON, you know, that inspiration is illusory. You know, we have this word inspiration, you know, but we really have to be able to distinguish between what spiritual inspiration is and material inspiration. You know, a lot of things, like I said, a lot of things inspire me materially. I like riding my bicycle. It's a lot, you know, it inspires me. What can I say? You know, when I look at the weather, I think it's sunny. Can I go out and do some sports or something? I mean, I'm inspired by that. But I know it's not spiritual inspiration. So, it's funny, you know, so getting back to the same thing, many people were inspired to go to Radha Kund. And, you know, initially for the first few months, you know, they were very enthusiastic, but then what happened? So my standard of inspiration is what actually encourage you is you and the consciousness that you're a servant of Prabhupada. I mean, Prabhupada, I mean, I hate to get into a Christian thing, but Prabhupada is our savior. Whether, you know, that's just life in the Krishna consciousness movement. You please Prabhupada, you get saved. You displease Prabhupada, you don't get saved. That's a simple equation for me. And someone else may have a different opinion about it. But that's my humble opinion. So yes, if going to someone encourages me to serve Prabhupada's mission more, because to serve Prabhupada and please Prabhupada means to serve his mission as far as I'm concerned, doesn't it? I mean, if you don't serve Prabhupada's mission, how is that pleasing Prabhupada? Especially if you're a follower of Prabhupada. And this is a simple equation in my mind. So if someone, let's say I go to some other person. I mean, for example, when Prabhupada left, I did visit Sridhar Maharaj, along with many other devotees, and it inspired me to serve Prabhupada. It didn't inspire me to leave the movement and join his society, but, you know, seeing him, so, anyway, so that's the standard. That would be my standard for inspiration. And I think we need to unpack this word inspiration and talk about it. You know, what does inspiration actually mean? To me, it means to serve Prabhupada and to be enthusiastic to serve Prabhupada and surrender one's life, give one's life air, one's last breath. I mean, I was very inspired by hearing Gopal Krishnamar's, because we're talking about retiring from the GVC, and he said, I'll die serving Prabhupada. So that's consciousness. Jai, Radhagalokananda, Radhagalokananda, Jai. Govindam Adi Purusha.